A62. Number 14B.
When we come to soul, we said soul is changeless, the government is changeless. And this is a good example indicating that our sentences naturally should be complete, because we can have many kind of changes. We can have a change from something that is positive to something else that is positive. Or we can have a change where something is positive and change into something that is negative. See, we have two possibilities of change. The one is positive, the other is negative. Now, soul is that which says, I'm changeless, meaning only in the way I don't change to the opposite. I don't change my nature to an opposite or other nature. See? I cannot be once government and then not be government the next moment, then chaotic. I am not government at one point and then for another few days not government. I'm constant. There is a constancy. So soul always, in the terminology of changelessness, indicates that it does not lose its standard. It does not change to its opposite. Whereas when we have this terrific change, the science that governs changes, it is that rhythm of spirit that comes along and says, I'm not stagnant, I change, everything is new, the newness of life, therefore it must always change from one structure to a new structure. It's the restructuring of what is there. And so there is a terrific change, but without losing its stability. Therefore never changing into chaos, into non-government. So this must be spelled out clearly. We have this difficulty with many terms, like separates. We say spirit separates. Well, what does it separate? Does it separate principle from idea? No, huh? You see, therefore, if we say spirit separates, this is only legitimate when we know among ourselves that it's meant positive from negative. That is separated. So we actually have an unspoken understanding, an unwritten law, that when we speak about separates, we mean separate between good and evil, between opposites. Whereas then we come and say, principle and idea are inseparable. So we do not, spirit never separates, therefore, a principle from its idea. And so it is with change. We have to be careful to know what we mean by a term. And that is, in a way, legitimate in a group that is educated along the same line, and therefore has a common understanding about the subject, then one can abbreviate one's language. We can have then a shorthand language where we just say, yes, you know, spirit separates. And nobody thinks that spirit separates God from man.
Well, Max, isn't it a question of the innate nature of the synonym, which is one thing, and the work or the effect of this synonym in the human or to the human mind or to the human situation as another thing?
Yeah.
In the human it's change, but in the synonym it is not. The synonym is changeless, but it changes the human picture to bring it into accord with what it is itself.
Yes, yes. But within a synonym, you see, you have that rhythm which is constantly bringing about changes within the synonym itself, or say within the structure. Say restructuring is changing.
Yes.
See, restructuring is changing, that's something very positive. And within
that isn't that a sort of a human improvement rather than the synonym itself?
I wouldn't say so. Say, for instance, if we have a 7x7, wonderful matrix 7x7. Now you can have that 7x7 and restructure it into another 7x7, which looks very different. Say the 7x7 in the chapter on prayer is something quite different than the 7x7, say, in the chapter on footsteps of truth. You see? So it's both true. It's both within the truth of the system. But there is a constant change there. The 7x7 can be represented in many, many ways.
So there's a constant change within the synonym as well as...
Yeah. Yes.
So
yes.
The sign doesn't change in an absolute sense, in a relative sense, doesn't all change.
That too, you see, I think that's what you wanted to indicate, that we have then a third kind of change, namely the translation from a higher level to the lower level. That's again a change which is cybernetically right, that something that has a certain attitude on the level of science itself changes when it is translated to the level of divine science, and changes when it's translated to the level of absolute Christian science, and changes when it's translated to the level of Christian science, which we'll do next year or the year after when we come to the dimensional sense of the synonymous term. There too you have, say, the outward appearance changes, though the isomorphy of the synonymous term is kept intact.
Does not the French saying summarize it very well? The more it changes, the more it's the same thing.
I guess. Anyway, it's true. Yeah.
I think it was built upon. Within the synonyms themselves, what they change. And I think, in essence, what you've said is yes, but the problem is, it's our lurking concept of change that we have to sort of handle there. And maybe the only way to really correct that is to redefine change through all these other ideas, particularly ideas of principle like restructure, which is probably a much more scientific sense of what we're trying to get at.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the change we're talking about. It's not a changing from something to something. It's actually remaining the self-sameness, but it's a reconstituting or structuring of that self.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not our normal concept of change.
Yeah. That's why I think we could say it's good if we would use a modern language, you know. Even if Mrs. Eddy didn't use it, she never talked about restructuring. She just talked about change, because at that time they wouldn't have understood what that meant, or the term was perhaps not even known at that time. And therefore we can take a term like change, which meant many things, and put it into modern language, and therefore there can show that we can use one term for one kind of change, and another term for another kind of change, and another term for another kind of change. And therefore, this is just a side mark. You know, they attack me always because I use terms that are not in the textbook. You see, they always say, "Come, Mrs. Eddy didn't say so." So if Mrs. Eddy didn't say it 100 years ago, you are not allowed to say it. Which means you have to die in 1890, around about that time. You have to die. Or you are no more allowed to live. You are no more allowed to live in this modern world. It's quite amazing. If Mrs. Eddy would have revealed Christian Science today and would sit down and would write Science and Health today, I think we all can bet our head that she would write it differently than what she has written. Absolutely. She wouldn't have talked about Agassiz. Who knows who Agassiz is? She would write about the modern guys in biology. She would write about all what happens today in biology and not about Agassiz. Well, he was a wonderful man because he was a Swiss, but by the side. You see, but let's be awake. This is the critic, and how dumb it is. You know, somehow we come into an age, I think, where we have to pull up our socks and be brave, because the critics is so low. Because Mrs. Eddy hasn't used that term. You are not allowed to use it. It's wrong. Your teaching is wrong. Oh. When we think what the much more exact language we would have today to express it. Mrs. Eddy said language is inadequate to express her ideas because her language was about 30% of words that we have today. She would use now the 100% terms we have today and use that terminology. So why shouldn't we use it? I quite agree, there is a danger in it. One has to know exactly which modern term would fit better. That's true. One can go wrong on that. But every progress has its danger. And just because there is danger in progress, we shouldn't shrink back and go forward. We have to take the risk of doing something wrong at one time and then correct it. So what? Doesn't amount to a bill of hens. I coined a few more on the West Coast. Yes. All right. That was anyway a side remark. We are still in. Government as, where we are we? Government as life. Yes. Where we could see that true government is always eternal government, that it is indestructible government, yes. That it is the government of spontaneity. Yes, the government of spontaneity. See, against what? The government in ruts. Always doing the same thing what always has been done. Not changing any bylaw after 100 years. Not to do that. Because that would go against the law of life, and the government of life, of spontaneity. Hideous. So, here is government as life, now as truth. What would be government when we combine it with certain ideas of truth? Yeah? You are sold on ideal, huh? That's good. Yes? Yeah? Only a government that is ideal can be considered government. Huh? Yes. What else? A nice one. Is wholeness, yes, Government of health, of wholeness, yes, please.
The government of soul in truth affirms itself.
The government of truth is affirming itself, is claiming itself, is conscious of itself, yes. Something else. What about self-government? Truth is that which is manhood, and therefore it's the self-government, and we begin to govern ourselves when we know the truth about man, and that brings us into self-government, where we are no more dependent on any other government. Yeah? And in love, government of love, what kind of government, or what is necessary in order for government to be government in love? Must have some touch of love.
Did you say integrating or an integrated government?
For instance, a government that is universally integrated, huh, into the whole plan. Yeah, it's a government that covers the universal plan. Yeah, else it is an isolated government, a fragment. Yeah. A government, you see, a government just for my business, huh, or just for my body, or just for my family. Huh? Whereas in love, you see that the idea of government is universal because it touches the universal idea. Therefore, this is beautiful to see. If we have a true concept of government, it's the government of the universe. It's not just the government of our body or the government of our affairs. The true idea of government is always universal because it's of the nature of love, and therefore is the government of the world. That's why we have so much trust in the fact, really, that our consciousness, which we culture in the quietude of our quiet hours, that is a terrific government. That is governing the universe, and therefore we should not be astounded that suddenly something completely new happens in the universe which turns everything into another direction. Where do these changes come from, you see? They come from government. Yes? And therefore in love we have that terrific sense that government covers the whole plane of being. Yeah?
Wouldn't we say here too that this government that we've seen here is this true union, that within that government is the true union of every idea, every individual, or every country or situation, no matter how small or how universal the union is, it's that unifying sense.
Yes, yes. So you can, you would see that when we come to love, that it gives you the purpose of government, which says the purpose of government is to bring everything into one union. Yes?
It's an adaptive government as well, because it brings in the meaning of the human being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love is infinite adaptation, yeah. So one can see that government is so gentle, so kind, so loving that it adapts itself to the various situations. That's what Mrs. Eddy has done with the government of her church, that she adapted it every month to the need of the hour, and therefore changed it, restructured it constantly, so as to adapt it to the need. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have that. So we have government. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to life. What shall we take in life as a main idea?
Abundance.
Individuality, yes. Uh-huh. It's a bigger term, perhaps, than abundance, yeah. Which one would you like to take? Individuality? All right.
Interrelationships?
Interrelationships.
Between various ideas.
Is that life?
I was thinking of it as related to identity and individual. Relationship, that sort.
Yeah, relationship is an idea of principle. Hmm? interrelationship is an idea of principle. Whereas individuality, all right, let's take individuality and say this is a terrific quest of everybody to find his true individuality, so that he is not just that, what he is, how he is formed, his character is formed by tradition, by education, by hereditary laws, and so on, so that he says, well, I am the way I am, I can't help it that I am as I am, and that we really tackle that. All right, what would we see first if we see individuality in itself as an intra-relationship of the ideas of life?
I first of all think of it in the sense of its indivisibility from being, from being of life itself, from business of life itself.
Yes?
It cannot be separated from that. It can only express its own individuality.
Yes. So you would say the individuality is always the expression of being it, of the divine being itself, huh? Yes, undivided from being your being, huh? So that individuality is actually a fact in being, huh? It's not something you can put on, not something that you can create or establish or figure out, huh? It's something that exists in being, huh? And you have existence, you have being, you have three ideas of life together here, where we feel that each one has an individuality which is actually existing in being, no matter if he sees it or doesn't see it, so that we can go out from that point and see, in order to be that individuality that exists in being, it must reflect the ideas of mind. And so we come to consider the nature of individuality and see it in mind what? Yes? In mind what? Idea. We can't help it. Huh? It's so big, we can't. We somehow have to see in mind that an individuality is idea. Huh? That it isn't something that has to do with our... Why is it idea? Against what? If you take the opposite. Illusion of mortal mind. All right, so our true... individuality that exists in being is therefore an idea of mind and not what we think it is, not what we believe it is, not something that we have a concept about it. It's not humanly conceptual. It's a product of the parent mind. Wonderful, huh? I like to start that too, to see if I have an individuality, from where does it come from? It comes from the parent mind, therefore from the mind's own conception, mind conceived my individuality, therefore mind has created my individuality, has an image and a knowledge of my individuality, yes? Therefore, my individuality is known by God and only known by mind. My individuality is not known by human mind. Isn't it wonderful? People don't know our individuality. The human mind does not know our individuality. Only the divine mind knows it. So we have a sense of mind coming in with individuality. We go to spirit. What do we see in spirit?
Individuality is of the spirit, not of the flesh.
Our individuality is spiritual, not of the flesh, therefore of spiritual qualities, of spiritual nature. Yes, it has nothing to do with our fleshly existence. Yes, therefore it is only expressed in the spiritual qualities. But could you see further as individuality in spirit?
Real.
Aha, that's your great point. I know now all the people by now, huh? The one is hooked on real, the other is hooked on idea, the other is hooked on changelessness. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, but it's true, you know. Yeah. Uh-huh. So when I sit at home and think about individuality, I just have to have the class in front of me, and then I say, oh, here comes mind, huh, idea, huh, here comes spirit, and that's... Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, but it's really true, huh, that we see that the spiritual individuality is our real individuality. Huh? That's really true. That the material so-called individuality is not an individuality, is actually an idiosyncrasy, is a distortion of my individuality, something that I have to lay down, that I have to overcome, yes, so that I always can go back, in every situation I can go back and say, oh, you were a real fool. Your individuality is actually not that. Go back to your true individuality. That individuality which the divine mind conceived, which the divine mind knows. And thank God that divine mind knows me only as idea. Therefore my individuality is known to mind only as a true idea. And that true idea is of the nature of reality. That's my real individuality. And I feel already much freer, and I come to soul, and now we stop.